Are you looking for relief from stress, anxiety, or pain? If so, you may want to consider trying CBD. CBD is a natural compound found in the hemp plant that has been shown to have a variety of health benefits. CBD can help relax your mind and body, reduce inflammation, and improve sleep. It is also non-addictive and has no known side effects. If you're interested in trying CBD, check out our website at www.hypnotizeme.com. And remember, if you're not hypnotized, then you're not doing it right. That's hypnotizeme.com, www.hypnotizeme.com for our high-quality CBD products and drinks. Hypnotize Me, a sponsor of the Boss Fest podcast.
It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss card. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. They ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend, and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man, DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butlers. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST, Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up? What's up? Welcome again to the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? Listen, we got a good one today. As y'all can see, me and Edwina, we're in different locations, and I think that is perfect for this conversation we're going to have. Cause after this conversation, who knows, we might need to stay in a separate room. Hey man, this political climate is getting hot. But what are we doing? Let me check on my bae. How you doing today, bae?
I'm doing good. I don't know what you're talking about. This gonna get hotter. We need to be in different locations.
I don't know, bro. You've been calling me some weird names lately. I don't appreciate that.
What I done called you?
Call me a Trumper. You call me a Make America Great Again.
You just making up stuff for this podcast. I'm done with you. Don't start on here with the BS. Let's not.
Saying, you telling me that's all right. But listen, y'all, before we get into it, thank y'all for joining, being a part of the show. Please follow, like, subscribe, tune into us every Wednesday, 7 p.m. We had to go 7 p.m. ish today. Wifey was out there handling business with the kids, so that's why we starting a little later than normal, but we still gonna give y'all a great show.
Man. So that's what we should call the show. Love and handling kids and doing ish by yourself, because apparently I'm out here half a single mother, because I just gotta do this thing by myself all the time.
Man, I swear. All right, we're gonna get into this, because now you just discrediting the work of real single mothers out here, because you had to do two.
No. I ain't trying to discredit the single mothers. I said half a single mother is what I said. And what I was discrediting was the support that you provide, not the single mothers in the world. Let's be clear. But you know what? Let's get into it, because I already see you on one right now. But that's okay, because I can hold my own. You're not going to put no words in my mouth today. So let's go.
I hear you. Fair enough. So this topic, love and politics. The reason why we came about with this topic is because the political landscape is definitely shaping up to be something that's a chaotic place that we haven't really seen like this in our history. Like when we think about, you know, the political climate, we think about the times when our parents used to talk about things, when our grandparents used to talk about the political time, political climate, and how things would shake up. But for us, you know, our moment hadn't really happened. It always seemed like it was a little bit of decorum. Now it just seemed like everything is just so cutthroat. And I believe that that energy is now starting to spill into the homes, especially into Black homes, because there's never been a time where in a political space in a Black home where we've started to slowly see that divide. Typically, if a Black woman is voting Democrat, 98% of the time, the Black man is voting Democrat like 96% of the time. So it really wasn't that much of a divide. Now it's getting to the point where Black men feel like they ain't being heard by the Democratic Party. Black women are like, hey, team Democrat all the way. We don't care what nobody else say. And I think it's just starting to slowly, slowly shake things up a bit. But that's just my opinion. What you got to say, man?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. Like, you was talking and I was just like, I don't know what you were saying.
See?
But I don't see the topic on the screen.
Another Black man not being heard again. Got it.
It's not necessarily that the Black men aren't being heard, but maybe the Black man is just so winded that the audience just, you know, taps out. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying. But if we're talking about, so for me, if you're asking, like, if you're talking about why we came about this topic, for me, I think I was watching something related to politics in the presidential election, and I looked over at you and I said, man, I'm scared to even ask this dude who he voting for, because I might divorce him depending on what the answer is. And I think, which every election since I've been able to vote has been important to me. It's been important for me to just exercise my right to vote. But this election, or I'll say the last few years, it has felt even more important because I feel like sometimes you can now see the divide. And it's almost sometimes a racial divide and sometimes a sexist divide. And it's not only like who people choose for certain things, but it's now almost who you vote for tells me what type of person you could be. And for me, that changes things.
Ooh, that was so long-winded.
You know what? You should have just went to sleep then. You know what? Just take a little nap since it's so long-winded.
So, and I disagree with that statement. I don't think who you vote for tells you who you are. I think it depends on how you see certain things that you believe impact your life. So for a long time, the Democratic Party,
you about to give us a history lesson?
I'm not going to go history because I know that you think history is long-winded, but Black people in particular have voted for the things that have created major change in our lives throughout the American history. So back in slavery, it was Republicans.
Oh, I thought you wasn't doing that.
I wasn't. I said back in slavery, it was Republicans that was voting for against slavery and things of that nature. Then it was a flip. Then Democrats became the new Republican back then. And that's where we've been ever since that point. But I think it's slowly starting to change the landscape a little bit. And I don't know if the energy that Donald Trump has brought to this political climate is good or bad. But I definitely think that it's allowing us now to talk about how we truly feel about these processes. And I think it's making us pay more attention to even our local elections now than we did in the past.
I mean, maybe, but you saying that you don't think someone voting for a particular candidate can tell you a little bit about that person. I feel like because the two candidates running for the presidential election are just very opposite sides, and some of the things that you hear, at least let's say like you're watching the media, are just so like left, like, you know, left side or whatever you may call it, that some of the things said, and if people agree with some of those things, I think that absolutely could tell you, you know, the type of person they may be. It definitely sometimes can tell me if you're the type of person I want to associate myself with, depending on, you know, which part of those views that you're voicing and that you side with, to me, it's important.
And I think that's starting to become a divide in the Black household versus in white households. Because, you know, typically white females will vote anywhere between 35 to 40% Democrat, while the white male will vote 75%, 80% Republican. But it's almost like, you know, even though I know I'm married to this person, they may have more conservative views, I may have more liberal views, but we still can love each other and be together and do these things like that. I think this is something new for us as a Black community, where it's like, wait a minute. Now I'm looking at my significant other, my spouse, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my whatever. I'm looking at them kind of different now, because now they're saying they might be nodding their heads with a political candidate that I may not necessarily agree with some of the things they did or said. And I just think, you know, we got to get back to having those true conversations of, all right, what it is that you dislike about what they said, and is it really impacting, how does it really impact your life?
And what do you mean get back to these conversations as though like we've left these conversations? I think in a lot of communities, like, because you keep talking about the Black household, I think these conversations could be being had. If we talk about our own household, let's say, for instance, I don't have a problem having these certain conversations with you. And we've had different conversations. Let's talk about on the views of like women's rights and talking about, hey, I have no problem with saying I'm pro-choice. And a lot of people may not think that, you know, I would be pro-choice as being like a person who went through IVF and had to advocate for myself, but I am. And then you talking about certain things and you don't necessarily agree with my view, but I've said very clearly, I don't think you have the right to agree on our voice, anything that's happening to any woman's body until you can do what we can do. And I think we have some of those conversations in our home. So you saying getting back to like those conversations, I don't necessarily think that's something that we left. But if I say that, I say that to say, like, if even if you look at those views and you're very hardcore on, like, I don't think abortion should be allowed, that could be something that decides whether we can be, you know, together or not. So we're talking about love and politics. Your view could change the way, like, how I see you as a person and decide, I don't know if that's for me, because you don't have the ability to be open-minded and see what I'm talking about.
So that's a great topic point right there. So for me, for those who are listening, I don't have a problem with a woman choosing the right, her rights with her body. What I am is anti-abortion, meaning that I don't think anybody should have the right to kill anybody. Anti-abortion.
I feel like a lot. Oh Lord! Oh my God! Oh my God!
So
oh my God!
And just you went through a process. You went through an IVF process. I was.
You just said, I don't know. I can't even. I'm about to like walk off right now because you just made me so mad. If somebody has an abortion, they don't have the right to kill anybody. Like, I don't know. I just feel like you just went to a class of like of idiots right now. What are you talking about?
How's that an idiot? What is abortion? You're terminating.
You literally went through IVF and you were able to see the process of cells and like transforming. So correct. When is anybody like, what are we killing here? You know, like, what are you talking about?
I hear what you're saying, but we went through the same process together. And through that process, because it took us a long, because we had to fight harder to create life, it makes me value life even more. You came out of that process with a different perspective. Me, I came out of it like, man, I'm anti-abortion.
I need somebody to see this podcast and tag another female, because I like literally, I don't know. I think I almost turned my brain off. Yes, we had to fight harder to have kids. And most people who are like aware of our situation understand that, which means that you should have more of an educational view on this to understand that, like, when does this become a person? And for you to say, I don't think anybody has the right to kill a person, like, what?
Okay, I hear what you're saying. So when we was going through this process, and we went through it numerous times, when you found out that that cell that you thought was in your body that had a heartbeat, that we could see a heartbeat flickering on the monitor, when it stopped or it disappeared, did you feel like you lost your child? Yes or no?
No, I didn't feel like I lost my child. What I felt like is I lost my hope. Since you're asking me this question, and so that way you can be whatever, you can't understand how I feel. So when I was watching the pictures and I was watching the cells multiply, that's what that was to me. Those were cells multiplying. And I was hoping to make it to a point where I can say, okay, this could be a viable pregnancy so that we could have a kid 100%. But when I lost the kid, and most people can tell you, depending on if they had a miscarriage early on or not, what you feel is hope and anticipation. And you pray that this will work because you're really hoping for whatever this outcome could be. I didn't feel like I lost the baby. Now, if I lose my kid at this age and like something happens or my kid is here, I've lost a child. 100% I've lost a child. But in that moment, that is not what I felt.
Got you. So for me.
And I feel like, to be quite honest, like we're talking about something that happened like so many years ago. It almost like surprises me that you don't even understand to that level. Like, how do you not get that? And we're talking about, did I not feel like I lost a child? Did you feel like you lost a child in that moment?
Yes, every time.
There's no way you felt like that, because when I was going through this miscarriage, since you put our business on podcast Front Street, you didn't even support me or be like, let me go to the hospital with you or like ride with you when this was happening. And how could you have felt like you lost a child? Like, that makes no sense. If you lose a physical child, there's a period of mourning. You didn't go through a period of mourning.
I did go through a period of mourning. But because I didn't physically hold or touch a child, I was able to recover quickly. And we out there now. So when that process happened, you said, man, something is wrong. We need to go to the hospital. We went to the hospital. We went to the first hospital, and they said, man, it ain't nothing we can do. You just got to wait until this thing happened. And for me, that was me trying to deal with the potential loss. And for you, you was like, no, I can't believe this. I need to go get some other, I need to go get a second opinion. I need to go get a third opinion. And it was like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, man, let me just deal with this, because now I have to deal with the process of, man, this is something that we was working for and it's now not going to happen. So let me deal with this. You don't know what emotions I went through that period. In your mind, you're like, man, I got to keep fighting. I got to keep fighting. You dealt with it your way. I dealt with it my way. Your way was to keep fighting until you knew for sure there was nothing left. My way was like, man, I don't want to keep reliving this death. I don't want to go to someone else's, to go to another place and they say, oh my God, yeah, the first hospital was right. And what happened was, we went to the first hospital, they gave us doom and gloom. You went to the second hospital by yourself and they gave you a little bit of hope. Then we saw our doctor and they destroyed all our hope. And they said, yeah, there's nothing here.
Right, so that wasn't a child, those were cells. So what he said was the cells stopped multiplying. That's what they said. There's no way to save that. So if that's a child, then let's go through the measures of trying to save that. People have kids early, like people give birth early and they're able to like help the kid. They go to the NICU, support them. We were way too early for any of that. They can't save cells.
I get
so, what are you talking about? It just,
I get it. Okay, so I hear you. So all I'm saying is this, so we ain't got to keep harping on that. And now you're finna divorce me 17, 18 years later, 19 years
later. No, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just the ignorance of not understanding and what you're saying. I feel like it's an ignorance.
Right. And that's the problem. You keep trying to, devalue my thought process on this is, and I think that's what happens today. In the political climate,
that can be your thought process. That doesn't mean that I can't think that it's an ignorant thought process.
So if every time someone spoke to you, they'd be like, man, that's ignorant. You ignorant, you ignorant, you ignorant. How likely are you to try to converse with them?
I converse with you every day. What are you talking about?
All right. Right.
So literally what I'm saying here, so that that way that doesn't turn into like a huge argument, I feel like women should have the right to choose. There are certain circumstances behind different things that, that could, you know, like maybe there's rape, there's whatever, there's underage pregnancy. Like people shouldn't have to give up their life behind this. I'm not saying that there needs to be where like a baby, a full blown pregnancy could happen and you could still like abort it. What I am saying is that it's their body and they should have the right to choose. The same way I have the right, and literally infertility is on the line here. So it's like, you're, whether we're talking about abortion or the ability to have a child when you can't, these issues are still on the line. So I'm literally saying, I feel like a woman should have the right to choose. So whether it's that she's trying to go through this and have a kid, or she's in a situation where she doesn't want this, that is her right to choose that.
And I disagree. And I know we can continue to disagree on this one. I don't think it would ever, like they say, oh, you can agree to disagree. I just think this would just be a disagreement between us. But we should,
which is fine.
We should be able to have,
we can have a disagreement. I just don't think, I don't think that you fully grasp the understanding, which is fine.
No, see, and that's what leads to the problem right there. You somehow, some way, you keep people out here today. If someone doesn't understand their viewpoint or follow their viewpoint, they try to find a way to devalue that other person's thought process, and that's the problem. Just because we don't agree, it doesn't mean that I'm coming at it from some unintelligent level. That's the way I see it. We went through the same process together. You went through it differently from a woman's point of view. I went through it differently from a man's point of view. And for me, I came out to this, to my assessment of how I view that process. I'm not telling you you're wrong the way you view it, but you're trying to tell me I'm wrong from the way I'm viewing it. And that's what happens now. People are like, oh, you don't see it.
No, so I'm telling you, I don't think you have the same understanding. And again, so we're talking about from your point of view, and like in my point of view, I'm the one that has to go through, when you're talking about the IVF, the shots, the surgeries, or whatever. So yes, you can be a support system and on the side, but it's my body that has to go through the ups and downs, the hormonal changes, the cuts, and all of that. That's me that has to take that on. You get to be a support system and watch that happen to me. So I don't feel like somebody should take my ability away to choose that. I get to choose whether I want to go through that. And I have two beautiful children from the IVF process, where we're saying, like I said, this is also part of this election and people debating whether that should even be part of the process. But I've also seen different situations where women have, you know, had babies from certain situations, and that's not what they wanted. I've seen young kids become teen moms, and that may not have been what they wanted. All I'm saying in this particular debate is she should have the right to choose whether she wants to go through this or she doesn't. You should not have the right to choose that for her. And we can leave it alone. Like, we definitely have two different sides on what this is.
We do. So we could talk about that the entire show plus more, but we're going to move on. So the new political process now, or the new political climate has now shifted even more. First, we was having the conversation that we're going to choose between, as a president candidate, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Now, since Kamala Harris has entered into the equation, now it's like, okay, how do we see this? You see Kamala Harris getting a lot of support from Black women, and like, it's just instrumental. But you see Black men coming out the works and things of that nature. But what you also see is you also start to see some of the vitriol that's directed at Kamala that isn't really necessarily about her politics, more than less about her race. And just recently, Donald Trump was invited to the National Association of Black Journalists, and he got on the stage and pretty much, hey, you know, I didn't realize she was Black. For long, I thought she was Indian, like, but now all of a sudden she magically became Black. And Black women took offense to that. But I know some Black men who are like, well, she was saying she was Indian, so it ain't like he lied. But I understand the anger. But it seemed like, even with those conversations, even though I don't agree with what he said, I can't see why he thought he could say it.
I don't know. So I guess it's comments to me like that. Like, you know, she has been Indian and now all of a sudden she turned Black. And that to me comes from, again, an ignorant place. And it's comments like that, that people think they can say things to Black people or African-American people. And we have to take certain things. Like, some of those comments are offensive to some of us. Like, I can't turn a separate race. Like, if I could, maybe I would turn something else that would give me, you know, a leg up when I apply for a job. So even in the small things where him trying to be, you know, smart and say, well, she was Indian and she wasn't embracing being Black. And now all of a sudden when it works for her, she turned Black. To me, those are offensive things. And when I feel like other races say things like that, that alerts me to the type of person that I feel like you may be. So they may not feel like they're saying anything out of the way, but I feel like I'm starting to understand the person who's in front of me now. And I start paying attention to those type of comments.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. What I challenge is, if that narrative wasn't put out there, you can't now become offended by someone challenging that narrative. There are things out there where, you know, she was predominantly claiming her Indian heritage, and we understand that she's Indian and Jamaican. But we also know, like, just because, you know, we were just in Africa and South Africa, we know that there can be white South Africans. We know that her father is Jamaican. I haven't done no real research to see if her Jamaican father is a Black man. I would assume he is, but I don't care that much to even look. But I don't necessarily hear this. They say her father's Jamaican, her mother's Indian descent. But they never say her father is a Black man. They say her father's Jamaican. So I guess one of these days I'll go really look and see how does her come?
Maybe today should be the day that you go look and see.
I don't care, but I think that's where we get political. There are certain things.
Well, I mean, you're talking about it, so to say you don't care.
Listen, she can identify as a goat for all I care. I don't care. It's what she's bringing to the table that matters to me. But don't flip it up. Don't say, man, I'm a goat today and I'm a lion tomorrow. Like, come on. I can understand that. Don't mean I agree.
So to me, that's just so biased as well. Because right, she should be able to identify with her Indian heritage as well as her Jamaican or Black heritage. Also, you just mentioned that we went to Africa, so we haven't seen anything African. Although people here are like, you're African American, right? But we went to Africa and people embraced us, and that's saying like, don't be in Africa wearing your dashiki and, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, dancing around wearing your beads. Don't do that, because that's not part of you, but you feel like that's part of you. You're learning that heritage and you feel like, hey, now that I'm learning who I am, I want to embrace that. You left wanting to be part of a tribe, but you don't know that part of your life. So now you're literally saying to somebody else like, hey, even if you're learning this, don't embrace that, because that's not allowed. You were just embracing this and you're not allowed to do the latter.
So there's a difference between how you're trying to classify me and me trying to gain understanding and what she already knows and understands.
It's almost assuming that.
I'm not assuming anything. From the clips that I've seen and different things, listen, I'm not saying that I truly believe Kamala has always identified as a Black woman, right? All I'm saying is that when you put certain things out there, you allow for someone else's interpretation of it. And if that ain't what you want, then just debunk it and move on from it. But if she claims it all, then claim it all. If you claim a piece, then claim a piece. But it was while I'm Indian, then I'm Indian and Black. Now I'm just Black. I guess it's whatever the narrative fits for the audience. And all I'm saying is that if I'm Black and I got some South African in me, and I go to South Africa now and I'm saying, oh, I'm just South Africa, then people can criticize me for saying some other stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're doing is you're making a dig about... It sounds like a dig to me. And I think that you can embrace any heritage and you can do it at different times. Like, there's a lot of like Haitian Americans here, and I'll see, you know, on, let's say, Haitian Flag Day or whatever, a lot of people are embracing that and saying, you know, this is part of my culture, but they may not do that all the time. They may be, you know, just like regular Americans, but you're saying that you have to choose and you can't embrace who you are at different points. Like, all of those things are still her. She can embrace that any point she wants to.
Okay. I ain't no point of disagreeing with you, because you ain't gonna hear me. I've literally said, hey man, I can hear your point of view, and you have constantly said, no, I don't hear nothing you saying. So it doesn't matter, this whole conversation at this point, you're not gonna hear me. And that is what Black men are saying now about the democratic process. Listen, I'm saying, I hear what you're saying. While I may not necessarily agree with everything you're saying, I hear you and I see your point of views. But now you don't want to hear nothing I'm saying, and you just want me to be here from just your point of view and see it from your angle. And now more and more Black men are saying, you know what, I'm tired of that.
So now you speak for all Black men.
No, I said more because and more Black men.
Yeah, trying. You said that's what Black men are saying, like that you don't hear us. And then you put me as though the speaker for the Democratic Party, which I never said that I was even a Democrat. So you are literally just assuming, and you are boxing me in. And the whole point that I'm making in this whole conversation is what you're saying to me, or your point of view is limiting. Everything about what you're saying to me feels like it's a limit. It's women shouldn't be able to have abortions. There's a limit on that. She can't be embracing her Indian heritage as well as her Jamaican heritage. Like, it's all limiting. And what I'm saying to you in this moment is, I don't want to be boxed in. And why does anybody have to be in this special little box of what you think it should be? Let people embrace who they are. Let people decide for themselves. We don't want to be boxed in. It's not that I don't hear what you're saying and you're trying to say like, hey, I really hear you. You don't hear what I'm saying at all. Because literally all I'm saying is, I don't want to be in this box that you're assuming I have to be in. Let me be the individual who I am. And if I don't want to be, you know, super Indian and I want to embrace both of my cultures, let me. What's stopping me? Like, that's what 2024 is. Everyone is embracing themselves as individuals. Why can't the presidential election be a part of that? Why can't other people say, hey, I see you and I agree. Embrace you. Do you. That's what I'm saying. And you're the one that doesn't hear me, not the other way around.
Yet again, you right. Okay. What else can I say? I said, I hear your point of view. I see it. This is just my assessment of that point of view. And you can say you agree or disagree with it, but you're like, no, you're just completely saying my view is wrong. And all I'm telling you,
I never ever said your view was wrong. What I said was, I don't agree with your view, which is completely fine. So literally what you sound like to me is the other people.
There you go.
Yes, you sound like the other people, because it's always like it has to be matter of fact. It has to, you don't agree with me, so you don't hear me. I cannot agree with you and hear you, and that can be your point of view, and that's fine. I just don't agree with what you're saying. I don't have to agree with what you're saying. That's just what it is.
Right, but you want me to agree with what you're saying.
I don't want you to agree with what I'm saying. I want you to understand what I'm saying. And I want you to stop sounding like a bigot on the podcast 100%. But
wow, now I mean, sound like a bigot?
I just really wish there were some comments on the podcast. If anyone is listening to the playback or whatever, let them be the judge for you.
I done became a bigot because I'm saying, hey,
no, I'm just telling you, like, as I'm internalizing that, and that could be my own feeling. So I'll let, you know, if someone else is watching it in podcast land, they can post their feelings behind what you're saying. There's no comments in the podcast. So that's just me saying like, hey, I feel like you sound a little like whatever, but I'll let everybody else be the judge of that. I'll leave that alone.
Man, I'm just trying to get to a place where we can have a conversation as a community, as a people, even in our own household. Because as we see right now, two married people, been together 20 plus years, we're now in a place where our views, the people we were in the past are not the people we are today. and our views are slowly shifting and molding into the people we have grown up to become. And I can see some of the point of views from the conservative side. I can see that. I'm not telling you that everything they say and do is I agree with, or I believe is the correct way, or even the way that they're saying it is the correct way. But I can say, hey, from this point of view, I see that. I can understand this piece. And because at least I don't want to say they're trying. I just think it's something different. And more Black men are starting to think outside of the normal Democratic bubble or the normal Democrat side process as they move forward, as they vote. Like,
I think more women are thinking outside as well, but I don't think that you should be the speaker for all Black men. So when you keep saying like more and more Black men, I want you to really just be like, Kevin.
No, that's a fact. I'm not saying.
Where do you get these made up facts? Like, here we go at fakefacts.com. All the Black men decided that I don't like the Democratic Party.
Nobody said all Black men. What I said was more and more Black men are starting to see more and more conservative views. It's done through the voting process. You can go back to 2016. Where the Republican Party got 4% of the Black male vote. In 2020, they got 8% of the Black male vote. They anticipate in 2024, the Republican Party is going to probably get about 20% of the Black male vote. That is a fact. You can trace that through the census. I mean, not through the census, through Pew Research study. You can see it in tangible data.
All right, so let me go there. If you're saying that more Black men are voting more conservative or believe in more conservative views, could that be maybe because now that there's an environment where Black women are being more of bosses and we're taking more of a leadership role, not only in the household, but also in the workplace. And as Black men, you don't know how to be dominant anymore or take care of, less, for lack of a better word, business. And in the home, like, there are more Black women, since we're talking about that, that lead households. So not only do we handle what's happening in our households, we're now bosses. When we're talking about working 9-to-5 jobs, we now are entrepreneurs. So like, we are now leading that hand over fist. So where it would be, hey, a Black man now has to go to work and like you have to depend on them, we no longer have to do that. So maybe you are taking more of a conservative role because you are losing the footing and you are no longer the man that you used to be before.
Wow. So we're no longer the men we used to be before. Who are the men we used
to be before? I'll repeat it for you because it wowed you so much.
No. Who are the men that we used to be before?
What I'm saying is...
Who are the men that we used to be before?
You tell me, because I just feel like y'all are so threatened by the Black woman now. Ooh. Maybe that's
Wait. So now Black men are threatened by Black women?
Is there a parrot on the podcast? Because I don't think I like...
Wow. I'm gonna let you get your thought out. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but wow. Continue.
You don't think that as you speak for, you know, all Black men, that Black men can be threatened by the Black woman?
I'm not speaking for all Black men. Whatever I'm saying is based off of trends in history and statistical data that has been collected.
So why do you think that is? Since you're saying that more Black men are voting more conservatively and have more conservative views, why do you think that is?
Well, based off the facts or the studies that's been conducted, more and more Black men are trying to be, are taking back their onus and trying to be, you know, leaders in their community again, right? What Black men have started to see, or what Black men have felt, is that our power was slightly taken away from us for a period of time. And we allow the narrative about who we are as men be controlled by media, and we're no longer allowing that narrative to exist or to control us. And Black men have always been holding stuff down. Like, but a narrative out there in social and in media space has made it appear like Black men aren't drunk. There are gaps. 70% of households are ran by single female Black women. That is a gap. We got to fix that. That gap was higher. It's getting better. More and more black men are taking ownership and taking over responsibility. Even if they may not even be in the household with their woman, they are now trying to take responsibility for their kids and do different things. So we got to take onus of our bullshit as black men. You know, I've always stepped up and handled my business. My father took care of his business. I had a great example to watch that aspect of it. But we now got to understand that there's a narrative out there about us that we didn't control, but we definitely didn't try to fight against. Now we're fighting against it. And I think black women are still buying into that narrative that black men don't care about it. And that's false. And because of that, we can say this reckless ass shit that you're saying.
Now what I'm saying is reckless?
Oh, it is so reckless. Oh, it is reckless. Black men are threatened by black women? Why would we be threatened by black women? We love black women.
No, maybe you can say that you love black women, but so now put two bosses in a household. Let's say that you're in a household where your black woman makes more money than you. Do you feel threatened in that household?
I was not threatened when you made more money than me.
100% you were threatened when I made more money than you. Let's say when you didn't have a job and I went to work, did you feel threatened?
You mean for them 2 months?
See, that's already a response of someone that feels threatened. So what you're saying is, hey, black men don't feel threatened by a black woman. But what I'm telling you is, in the household, if I make more money than you, then I make myself feel, oh, it's not really more money than you. It's just really just looks like that on paper. Whatever it may be, what I'm saying is there's still a level of being threatened. 100%. 100%.
See, there you go. You're putting a false narrative out there.
I'm not putting a false narrative. Well, I'm telling you what the truth is based on what I see. So you can't say that, you know, black men don't feel threatened by black women. I definitely feel like there's a level of what that is. If you're saying now black men are more conservative, what are the conservative views that they're going after now? What are they trying to seek or change? Is it because they feel threatened by black women? Are we now becoming leaders? Are we getting better jobs now? Are we now standing up and saying, hey, we don't necessarily need to fall behind a man. We got this. And now all of a sudden, black men are now being more conservative and want things to go back to, let's call it, a older time.
I think you touched on something right there. And what are you trying to? Black women are the only group of women in America that say, we don't need a man. No other race of women say that crap. No other race.
You don't know what any other race of women say?
It's based off, you can look at marriage statistics.
You stay going back to statistics. Let's say that black women say that we don't need a man. The reason why we say we don't need a man is because we don't need a man to cheat on us. We don't need a man to devalue us. We don't need a man to sit at home in our house while we go to work and just like,
oh my God,
you mad at what I'm saying?
I want you to stop that lie.
What lie? What's the lie?
Okay, here's the truth. You can go research this right now. There are twice as many black single mothers as there are black single men. Why is that?
There are twice as many black single mothers as there are black single men.
Yep.
And there's more
black
women.
Black single mothers as a black single fathers. Why is that?
What?
It's critical now.
So, I don't even understand what. So let me read this comment real quick. It says, I don't think it's a threatening feeling by men, but women definitely get a sense of attitude.
I like that comment, but I want to touch on this real quick. The reason why there's twice as many single parent females versus single parent males, black males, is because black women keep fucking the same ain't shit dude. If he was ain't shit with this chick, why do you think he's now going to be something valuable to you? But black women will keep looking at good dudes and be like, man, you know what? I don't want that. But they'll look at ain't shit dude over here and see him as valuable for some reason and continue to make a baby with him or think that they can change or fix him. Oh, he did her like that, but he won't do me like that. No. If some, listen, sometimes some people ain't worth shit. No matter what race you are, gender, some people ain't just ain't worth
I
shit.
I feel like, first of all, since you're quoting fake facts, it's a lot easier to figure out if you are black. I feel like it's a lot easier to figure out if there's a black single mother than, of course, a single father. Like, these fathers out here are just gone. Like, what are we talking about? Like, to me, that just sounds, I don't know, it just sounds crazy. But neither here nor there. Can there be someone who goes after a certain type? 100% there could be someone that goes after a certain type. But what you're saying is black men need to step up and change the narrative. They need to step up and change the narrative. So the same way that you need to be different, then as women, we need to stop going after the same type. But I don't think that changes the fact that what you're saying as far as men voting more conservatively and not wanting it to go back to an older time, like, yeah. I don't understand the point.
You said something about an older time. All right, you have to say anything about an older time. Only thing I said is, hey, man, you was black.
Well, I asked you, what's the point of being, like, what are we voting more conservatively for? What's the purpose of it? And you didn't answer.
So I didn't answer you. We went on this whole nother thing. So
you went on this whole nother thing.
So right. Oh my God. Fair enough. I went on some old other thing. It's just me by myself. So
you don't have to get in your feelings on the podcast. Literally, you're talking about ain't shit dudes or whatever, and women go after the same ain't crap dude. So you're right. Sometimes women may find somebody and think, hey, I could fix them up. Sometimes it works. Would you agree or not? So sometimes you can fix them up. Sometimes you can't, but those are all learning lessons. So I don't understand. Everybody does not pick the right person, the right spouse, make the right choice the first time.
There's one thing about picking the right partner the first time. It's one thing actually getting to know somebody and knowing this person really ain't worth nothing, and continue to lay with them and know that if you make a baby with this person, they may not be there. There's a difference. Like, even though he did that to you, he won't do that to me.
Okay. I think I was in a relationship before and I was with this dude and I just thought it was fun. And I realized, hey, if something goes wrong and I have a baby with this dude ain't worth shit. And I'm going to be in a situation where now I'm caught out there with this dude who this is just fun. And now if we're talking about seriousness, I'm going to be stuck. But you know what? 20 years later, that dude ain't the same dude. So you're talking about people can't change and people can't be fixer uppers, but what are you saying here?
Wow. You're talking about a teenager.
Oh, but now we can put age with it? You didn't put age with it. So people have the ability to change, is what I'm telling you. So the person that you were in your 20s is not the person that you are right now, but you're faulting someone for picking the wrong partner or whatever it may be. These people could have been in their 20s too, but why do you get a pass and women don't? It makes no sense to me.
I didn't fail.
So because they had a kid by somebody who maybe wasn't the right choice, now it's a failure?
No. What I'm telling you is that you tried to throw me into this narrative of like, I maybe told somebody, da 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 da, and now, look, 20 years later, look, we hit. No, it's a difference. I came to the table with a certain set of values and morals. Was I still young in my development and trying to enjoy the world? Yes. But when I realized, hey, man, I found something real, I settled my ass down, and I was still in my damn teens.
I know you want to pass for that. I'm gonna read the comment. Please, this says, we'll have a list of 50. You do 40 of them, and we'll leave y'all for the 10 you don't do to get someone else that only fits the 40. Now, that I have to agree with. I definitely think women of a certain age have a list, and they're looking for someone that checks off all the things on the list. I don't agree with that. I think if you're looking for someone that is going to fit, or you guys be a successful relationship, I think you got to throw the list away 100%. And that's just my opinion on that.
So, you want to read the other comments?
No, I look like you want to read the comment. Go ahead, read the comment.
I don't. What I'm saying is I want to continue the conversation, and I don't want you stopping me and going to.
Oh, you don't want me to read the comments? So this comment says, I got our guy pickers be off a lot. Yes, 100%. But what we're not going to say is that people can't change and do better, because now you're literally boxing up a whole group of people for what they could have decided when they were in their 20s, and now they're a single mother, and now it's their fault.
Oh my God, I'm not boxing anyone. There's no box here.
Everything that you're saying to me,
you keep placing boundaries on the conversation. There's no box here. What I'm telling you,
I'm repeating what I hear you saying.
I'm repeating facts. And you keep trying to come to me with
feelings. You seem like you are making up facts to me. Next time we do a podcast, you decide that you're going to make up facts, because you always have a whole bunch of facts. I want you to come and I want you to show Podcast Land your list of facts, because you always have facts. And for me, you always reading a bunch of facts, but I never see you with the book of facts. I never see that happen, but you always have facts. It's baffling to me how one person can have so many facts and not read anything on the facts. That's all I'm saying.
You know what's baffling to me? That you are going to automatically dismiss my facts because of your lack of understanding. Instead of saying, you know what? I don't know it to be sure. Let me go look it up. You automatically say my stuff is wrong or I'm telling a story. Won't you take a second and get out of your feelings and be like, you know what?
You know what? I will definitely look that up. I'm not in my feelings because of it. I'm just really saying that in the 20 years that I know you, when we're not doing podcasts and you doing anime, when do you look up the facts? So I am saying something that is very factual as I know it. And every time we get on a podcast, you have 5,000 facts. And I'm just saying, I've never seen you look up the first fact. That is what I'm saying for my perception. So if you looking up facts, you know what? All the facts that you said, we're going to write them down. I'm going to go back and I'm going to research them myself. And on the next podcast, I'll say, you know what? Kevin came up with the facts. But you're not going to get on here and be like, there was 5,072 people in 3,000 and whatever who decided this. Like, these just sound like made up numbers to me. And you be very exact with your fake facts.
Say that again. So I'm bringing some exact data, not some roundabout data.
But you're not reading it from anything. You acting like you a Fox News reporter with all these fake facts.
So I can't retain information now. I need to have a cue card up. So I can't read something and retain information.
100%. You cannot read it and retain it to be on this podcast giving exact numbers. You can be mad as you want to, but if I tell you we are eating spaghetti for dinner, you will ask me 15 minutes later, what are we eating for dinner? And I'm supposed to believe that you remember these numbers like off the top of your head? No, sir. You are lying.
Why are you always taking personal shots at me?
I'm just telling you.
You're always taking personal shots at me to try to devalue what I'm bringing to the table. Do you think that's healthy?
Like, seriously. It's healthy for me. Now, it might be healthy for you to stay in it, but I feel it's pretty healthy for me.
It's healthy for you to just continuously devalue with the things I'm saying because you.
What I'm telling you is I have had personal encounters with you. You're not someone that I just met off the street. I watch you day in and day out. And for you to be able to remember an exact number just does not seem actual to me. If you don't remember something that I say to you 5 minutes later, I just can't believe that you can recite a number like that. If you can, then kudos to you. I don't believe it. If you have a sheet, please show it, and then I'll shut up and I'll say, you know what? He got his facts written down, and that's what it is. So provide the proof.
Fair enough. I will provide proof. Next time I start quoting facts, I'll make sure to put links in the comments of this information.
So, and this comment says, Kevin Samuel used to do it all the time. I don't know if his facts was fake either. So I guess that's what you're trying to be, the next fake fact deliverer.
Okay. I don't know where else to go with that. Like, it's real data. It's real information. But okay. In your mind, since you can't prove it's real right now, or you're not even going to take the chance to even research.
No, I said I will look it up. I will 100% look it up, and I will come and say, hey, you were right.
And because I know you, you ain't finna research a damn thing.
Exactly. Now, you see how you said you know me and I'm not going to research anything? That's what I'm literally saying to you is I know you and I know you didn't research it. But how is it okay for you, but it's not okay for me? See how it's cool when they do it, but it's a problem when I do it? It don't make no sense to me. You're saying you have enough history about me that you know once this podcast ends, I am not going to research anything. And husband, I'll tell you, are 100% true. I am not going to research that because you know me well enough. So why can't I know you well enough to say you didn't research that shit? Make it make sense.
Because you should realize, okay, my husband has taken a different turn in life. Like, I didn't know.
I'm going to disappear off the podcast. Ain't no way. Ain't no way you took a turn.
I have.
Let's just move on. Let's just move on because there's just no way I'm going to sit here and listen. You have taken a shift in your life.
I have been trying to gain more understanding about different things that that I want to know about. Maybe they're not always the things that you think I should know about or I should care about.
Okay, well, since you're taking a shift, then take a shift to learn about women's rights. And then also take a shift to understand when someone goes through IVF and how the cells, you know, like they develop into, you know, like there's embryo and to fetus, you know, to full term. Research that since you're researching things.
Got it. So we get it. So we, as a household, we gonna stay divided because as it relates to politics, and this is where it happens, where we start to have these different views and it dives deeper into more personal conversations. So now we're looking at each other and be like, man, do I truly know you? So I get when you say that now, because I'm like, man, I thought it was just a whole bunch of you didn't really want to hear me. But it's like, you really ain't trying to understand me. It's just, wow.
I'm not going to debate whether I'm trying to understand you. I feel like, I don't know. I just, we're definitely not going to be able to agree on, there's no middle ground in this conversation, 100% true.
And I think that's where we are in a dire situation as a community, as a country.
Why we always have to be in a dire with the community? And
because
and
what everything. We're saying is there's no, we're saying there's no middle ground.
No, I said there's no middle ground in our household.
Our household is our world. So if our household can't find middle ground, that means we always
said. But our household is not the whole country.
Fair enough. So in our household, we're always at war because we can never find middle ground.
Our household, there's no middle ground because you lack the emotional intelligence to understand what it's like to be a woman and hear me on these views. So you get to make a decision on what you feel about body parts that you don't even have. So, yes, we have no middle ground here, but I guess I can say as we start to, I guess, kind of wrap up this conversation, I do thank this, that, and the other podcast for like really like, you know, bringing this to light. You know, like we saw that they were having an event, you know, tomorrow actually, and that kind of like helped us launch, you know, this conversation as well. And apparently they've helped us come to the determination that we don't have any middle ground and you're just.
I feel sorry for them because you finna go to their live podcast and you finna cut a fool. I feel sorry for them. You have no understanding.
So don't feel sorry for them. I appreciate those guys for inviting me. I know Soul City is going to provide some food. That's what Lou told me from this, that, and the other podcast. So shout out to her. I'm really excited to be in the building. I don't know where the conversation will take us, but what I said before early on in the podcast is sometimes people's views help me determine the type of person that they are. So if you say the wrong thing, especially if I feel like it's racially motivated or it may be sexist. I don't have any understanding. And again, it does help me shape who the person I think you may be. That's my perception of it. Everybody doesn't have to agree with that. But if I feel a certain type of way, I don't have a problem with voicing that. So I guess we'll see what happens there. But I officially put those guys on notice. So if they talking to the crowd, here's your first notice. That's
so
it is what it is with me.
Listen, fellas, Edwina coming, she's gonna be in the crowd. Do not ask her what's her opinion, because it's gonna start a war. So don't have ask her opinion. Let her sit there with that.
Oh, you about to take a dig? Let's with that what?
With that come mean on, look now. On your with that mean look on your face.
Oh,
okay. I was just trying to find a better word to say mean look, scowl or scowl. I was trying to figure out the correct terminology to say word. But listen, I think the conversations definitely need to be had. I believe that the fact that we're now actually trying to have these conversations actually means that we're moving in a better place. Before, we wouldn't even talk about these things. We would just go along with whatever we thought the motion is. Now it's like, hey man, we actually now got to talk about who we're going to vote for, how we're going to look at these. It's making us look at local elections and things better. Like before, it was like, man, who is the president? Who's the vice president? And there'll be 20 other things on that ballot that we know nothing about. But it's the people that's in our local office that's getting voted in with 500 and 600 votes that's now controlling our destinies for the next 4 to 6 years and changing narratives and rules and stuff because we don't know. But it's now making us look at all of that stuff differently. So I'm grateful that we can actually have the conversation, even if it don't always seem to work out in my favor. Because somehow I'm always delivering fake facts and I'm never truthful and I don't ever understand a woman. But I got it. Oh, I'm jealous of a woman too for some reason. I'm jealous of women.
You decided to take the plight of every black man. No, and all I said what is I said can black men.
I said, based off statistics. More and more.
All right, well then, statistically speaking, black men may feel some type of way about black women. Statistically speaking, since we're just going to throw that in front of things and then that makes it make sense.
Almost like hypothetical. Or allegedly.
Allegedly, black men feel threatened by black women. And y'all are now like, okay, because let's be for real. When there's a man and a woman in a household, I feel like 8 out of 10 times the woman is actually who's running that household.
We don't disagree.
Now we're talking about these same women not only running the household, but they're also running businesses. They're running office places. They're bosses. So all I'm saying is maybe, allegedly, the black man may feel threatened.
I don't think that's the case. I think black men have always tried to be the biggest supporter of black women, statistically.
And I just don't necessarily agree with that. Like, can you say some men, maybe in your environment, the black men that you know are supportive of black women, but I don't want to be like that is 100% what it is.
So who support black women more than black men?
Black women.
Okay. What other race of men support black women more than black men?
None, but that's not necessarily proving that like the black man is so supportive. What that really proved to me is that the black woman is so under-supported.
You're going to put some facts with that, but you ain't got them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me look them up like how you be doing. Yeah. 75% of all black women are under-supported. That's in the workplace. That's in the home. They are under-supported. 75% of them. How about that? There you go. I came up with some facts. I feel under-supported a lot. I can tell you I feel under-supported sometimes every day. I go to a job where I'm the boss and somebody can tell me who is my employee that they don't want me to manage them and actually be heard. So somebody's got to threaten the knowledge that I have because this employee who may not be the same color doesn't want a black woman to manage them. In what, in what realistic environment do you need to be threatened about your job because somebody else just doesn't want you to be their boss because of the color of your skin or because you're a woman? You don't get that. I do not feel supported almost every day. So 75% of black women feel undersupported. That is my statistics for today.
You win.
And you know what? When I feel undersupported in the workplace and I come and tell my black husband, he tells me some story about his job and how I'm a boss and my boss didn't do this, therefore making me feel even more undersupported. So I'm just giving you real life facts on how the black woman can feel undersupported. But as black women, we need to have each other. So if you're talking about Kamala like getting on a call and black women supporting her, black women are now seeing in 2024, we need to rise up for each other because the black man is now, as you say, being more conservative and voting more conservatively. So if you don't have us, we'll have us. And we can end it on that.
All right, y'all. Listen, as y'all see, this conversation needs a part two, because ain't no way in hell I can't even have a rational conversation because it's too much emotion being thrown at me to feel like
it's no emotion. You just want it to be, when men can't handle the narrative, they always want to make it be about emotion. Furthermore, pushing my narrative about being undersupported, because whenever it's like, oh man, like you win a conversation, it's your emotions. It can't be factual. Like, I don't understand it. We're talking about love and politics. Like, literally, there's emotion in love, and we're talking about politics. Like, what is this? Look at this comment. It says, well, a little off subject, but on subject, it seems like men hate women. Men hate women. That's not coming from me.
I don't think that's true.
So again, maybe you don't think it's true from the bubble that you sit in. What I'm telling you, though, is if men aren't going to have us, especially black men, since you keep talking about black men, then women have to have each other. And we have to lift each other up, because who else is going to do it?
I hear what you're saying, but I bet you this, since you're saying
that. Look, somebody going to vote for me.
That's fine, but I bet you this. So since black people have became Democrats, black women have always voted in the 98 to 96 percentile for the Democratic candidate. We gonna see how much black women support a black woman. If that number drops anything below 92%, that means that black women don't even want to support a black woman. So
you know what? But in the same sense, what you're saying, if it drops anything below 98%, let's see how black men support a black woman, since you're saying that, since black men just support so much. Like, this does not have to be a racially driven, like, election. Literally, that's the whole point that I'm saying. But if one candidate wants to make it all about race, then that makes me feel some type of way for those people that are voting for them. Like, I don't feel like when we're talking about politics, it should be race driven. Let's talk about the facts. But if we want to now dig and talk about races and definitely throw slurs, I know who I don't want to vote for. But again, since you have to say, well, black women support black women in 98%, let's see how the men turn out then, because black men are so supportive of black women. Since that's what you're doing. So this comment says, I don't want to rise up for no woman, though. I need a man's man, honey. I don't know. It's going to be hard to find a man's man, because he's somewhere in his feelings talking about how he feeling some type of way because a black woman is now a leader somewhere. So good luck on the man's man.
What is you talking about? What is you talking about?
I was just reading a comment. I was just telling you.
I know you're reading the comment, but you're taking direct digs like somebody. I said, what are you talking about?
Do you feel like the digs are at you?
Are they not? Like 90% of your digs are directed at me. And then you might as well just say, dig, Kevin, dig. Like, you might as well just do that. I'm just saying. Okay. Thank you.
Look, so I can't just be taking a dig at like men in general, that wasn't for you. I definitely think that you're a man's man. You are very manly. Sometimes I feel like too manly. So that wasn't a dig for you. That last part was a dig for you. But
the last five parts were digs for me.
Neither here nor there. As like this conversation definitely can go on and on. I'm excited that I get to continue it tomorrow.
Part two. We gotta run a love and politics.
I think what we should do, if we're gonna do a part two, you know what? We should bring on another woman and another man. So then that way it's not just my perspective. We can hear it from different perspectives. I think the conversation, huh?
I like that. Are they gonna be married too? Are they gonna be?
I don't know. We can discuss it. But I'm excited that this, that, and the other podcasts are having their event tomorrow and we get to have some of those conversations again. You know, somebody else tagged them in the comments. I put them on notice because I will just say this. If the conversation starts looking like it's going racial behind whatever it may be, it's anybody game. So, anybody, but I'm excited. Anybody can get the business.
It starts going racial, like, I don't want to vote for her because she's a woman. Anybody can get it, huh?
Well, that's sexist, but yes, right. But oh, you got somebody who done signed up. If we going single, they'll do it. I'm ready. So I'm excited for the conversation tomorrow. Hopefully, I know you won't be in the area. Hopefully, you can tune in to this, that, and the other podcast. If you're catching this podcast or catching a replay, definitely tune in tomorrow to this, that, and the other podcast as they're talking a little bit about politics and their live podcast. I think it's going to be lit, and I appreciate them at least opening the door for the conversation. We completely support it, and if nothing else, people going to get a business tomorrow.
Absolutely, so, man. Shout out to everybody that's involved. I know I had put a post out a while ago about what type of
Marchena is hosting.
I wanted to have about this. And them fellas saw the same thing. I was like, man, let's go ahead and make it an event. And that's what I like about them fellas. You're going to have Marchena hosting. You're going to have Burley in the building with Soul Kitchen providing the food. You got Mike Renardo allowing him to utilize his space over there in Lakeland. So it's gonna be major moves being made. Vic Gurley Jr. gonna be on the panel. I believe they said they bringing in a different person, a political analyst or something. So I'm excited to hear what those conversations are gonna be about. So I'm definitely gonna be tagging in the comments because I can't physically be in the building, but I'm excited to see what happens, and hopefully my wife don't go in there and embarrass us. Cause I ain't gonna lie, my wife in the cut of food, fellas. You know, y'all take her name off the list. Just remove her name off the list.
I mean, it's all love. You know, like people have different opinions, and you know, it is what it is. I'm excited that they were able to put this together, and then they have an event August 10th. So y'all check that out. That's going down at Culture on First. Let's support small business. I think this is said correctly. All love and family. Support local businesses building a brand 100%. Boss Fest is down for it. I'm excited to be in the room. And for those of you that don't know, as we're talking about Boss Fest, our tickets are live for this year's Boss Fest happening October 6th. It is going down at the Embassy Suites in Tampa. We will be announcing some speakers. And when I tell y'all get y'all tickets now, because we just slowly like dropping some heavy hitters out there on y'all. So we'll announce the next speaker to the lineup here in the next day or two. So we're really excited about like what we're doing and what we're putting together. Tag a business that needs to get in the room, tag an entrepreneur. Like it's all about supporting and growing our brands over here. If you're looking to get your ticket, you can head to www.boss-fest.com. And that's all I got for people.
That's all we got, man. Thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of the Boss Fest Podcast, where we're giving y'all the real, the really real, maybe sometimes
fake facts. And we'll see y'all next Wednesday.
We'll see y'all next Wednesday. We out.